Hello, and welcome to The Blurs, the Black Nerds with the Word. This is a podcast where we blurs discuss comics, manga, anime, movies, and much more happening in pop culture. This is one of your hosts, Marcus Andre. With me, I have...
What is good, y'all? This is Drew, reporting from the Double D, Dirty Dwarf, Waldorf, Maryland. You know, just chilling, reporting live, episode 17? I think it's 17.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, damn.
Yeah, 17. We really are. Like, this is going by real quick, but yeah, I'm ready.
This is Justin, another one of your hosts, coming from Killer Coward County. You already know.
Man, just go. Just go. Hey, yo, he's just waiting for the laugh. Like, man, just go.
Murder Mocha all day and all that. We out here. Jose passes it back to our main man, Marcus.
All right, so let's get into the new segment. The first item we have in the new segment is that due to the novel coronavirus, Warner Brothers has decided to shuffle its movie releases, or reshuffle, I should say. So Batman will be moved from October 1st, 2021 to March 4th, 2022, and Dune will now debut on that date instead. The fourth Matrix movie's release date has been pushed up to December 22, 2021 from April 1st, 2022. And the Flash's release date will be moved back from June 3rd, 2022 to November 4th, 2022. Shazam! Fury of the Gods is being moved from November 4th, 2022 to June 2nd, 2023. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Shazam spinoff, Black Adam, now doesn't have a release date.
Mm. Man, they make 2022 sounds like it's like next week. Yeah. Like that joint. Goodness.
Yeah. That's a whole another year and some change away, man.
2,000 years later.
Yeah, goodness. And I already know Black Adam's not going to come out till like 2025 or something crazy like that. Like, whatever.
You still got to release Wonder Woman.
They should just put that on VOD.
The trailer looks fire for it, actually. I won't even lie.
Yeah.
So how do y'all feel about Jamie Foxx coming back as Electro in Spider-Man for the...
I don't care.
Indifferent.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's not like I can be like, oh, that person would have done a better job or that. Like, it's not... I don't think his portrayal of the role was... like bad. I mean, it was cool. I mean, I don't have like an opinion on it. It's just, yeah. I mean, Jamie Foxx is a great actor, so
yeah.
And I'm sure him in the MCU is gonna make his character better. I'm sure. I don't know, but I mean, it's not like I'm like mad about it or nothing like that.
Depending on how they write it, yeah.
I
don't want Spider-Verse, so that's what people have been floating around. I don't want that yet. Not in live action.
Like a couple of years from now, I can see it. But like if they if they do like an homage to it, like they get Toby, they get Andrew, and after that coming for like cameos, whatever, that'd be dope. But yeah,
they can hit it in this movie, but I don't want it.
I don't know if I want Toby and Andrew Garfield in that joint. I feel I don't know. Like, would they be playing as like Spider-Man in a different universe?
Like the different universe. Like I'll say like I don't see them in the movie. I can say like probably like cameos like toward the end or whatever. Like there'll be like one of those moments like they're fighting a villain and then we need a Spider-Man. Like once the Spider-Man's come out to help and everything, we see them in the outfits. It's like, hey, AK, do you need help? That like kind of thing. I can see that. Not like the whole movie.
I don't know if I'm looking forward to that. If that happens,
I would. Like a lot later for now. Like we need at least 5 years for that. I'm thinking, yeah, 3 to 5.
Would
Tom something?
Tom Holland. I was about to say, yeah, Holland. I was about to say.
I mean, the best live action Spider-Man.
Yeah, he is to me. He's in my opinion. But like, I was gonna say, would you think he would still even be Spider-Man 5 years from now? Because he was almost. Not Spider-Man. I mean, last year.
It depends if Sony can just know their role, but That's on Sony because they're still trying to add the whole Morbius thing, which is supposed to happen like later. But I'm not really looking for that movie. It has
did that movie ever come out?
It had a trailer. It's been produced and everything. It was supposed to be released. Actually, it's supposed to be released this month, but It was pushed back to like I think next year, whatever. It was Morbius starring the guy who played Joker in Suicide Squad. What's his name?
Jared Leto.
Yeah, he was supposed to be Morbius and everything. And they're supposed to tie this into the MCU Sony universe a little bit because they have Michael Keaton in this movie too.
Okay.
I think Sony's going to tread lightly with Spider-Man. I don't think they want to piss Disney off because the movie industry is very unstable right now.
Why do you say that?
Because Cinemark and another movie company has closed their theaters.
Regal.
Regal, yeah. They've closed their theaters indefinitely.
Yeah, a lot of places. Because, yeah.
Yeah, I think they don't want to piss Disney off. And Disney is the reason why Spider-Man is successful right now. So, all right, let's jump into books. Kenny, let's start with you because I only read one thing.
Was it what I'm thinking is Batman or no?
Yeah, Batman. And I'm jumping off of Batman now. I'm jumping off.
We'll start with something else, and after that, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
So, a bunch of new things came out this week: new Thor, new Spider-Man, and new X-Men. As far as X of Swords, I'm just going to talk about Spider-Man, and that we can get into Batman. So, Spider-Man, we're in the Kindred storyline and everything. It's issue 49, and Spider-Man and the Green Goblin team up to take on Sin Eater because he's overrun Ravencroft and everything. And because Sin Eater's after Norman Osborn and Spider-Man, you know, the whole ethical dilemma. Should I just let Sin Eater take care of him? Because, like, Sin Eater's back from the dead, but basically whenever he kills people, they don't die, but he takes all the evil and wickedness away. But it's still, like, some plot behind that is like, why is he doing this? And like, Kendra's the one who brought him back, so it's an ulterior motive for why this happened. So they're fighting Sin Eater. He has a bunch of followers, and also he takes the power of the Juggernaut, so he gets his form and everything, and they're fighting him. And like, they're like, what's the name? They get a little back and forth as far as like their history as far as Spider-Man and Green Goblin. And then Green Goblin saves Spider-Man from getting crushed by this little pillar, and that they encase Sin Eater Juggernaut fusion in some concrete and whatever. And it's like, all right, we good and everything. But he pushes Spider-Man into the thing and is about to let him drown. He's like, yeah, I saved your life because you helped me out one time, but this is just for me being me. And then he's like, bro, I could have let you die, but you're going to do this to me now. But luckily, the Spider family comes in as far as Gwen, Miles, Jessica Drew, the whole web of the spiders and everything. They come in and help him out. And they argue with Norman, and then Spider-Man, he's like, you know what, I'm breaking this chain. He throws Norman in the concrete to get attacked by the Juggernaut Sin Eater or whatever, and that's the end of the issue, which sets up for Kindred to make his full unveiling in issue 50, but yeah.
All right, how was X of Swords issue 2, I think it is?
As far as that, listen, we're just like, it's like a gathering thing right now, because the thing is with X of Swords is that there's two worlds, there's Krakoa and there's Arako. And before time, because you know, Apocalypse is always the start of all the bullshit that happens with the same mutant kind, whatever. The war, and what happened was because of that war, demons and everything came up, and he had to split the islands in two, which became Krakoa, where the mutants live now, and Arako, which is a distant island that has delved into like the depths and everything. As far as that, but Krakoa wants to be whole once again, which is why it says you need to do this. And then he goes there, and he sees all, like, what's saying, the people who rule there are the his first four horsemen. And, but they like, since they've been there for so long, they're like, no, we want to rule all, fuck you, fuck everything, and starts the war. And the moderator between the war is Saturn. I don't know if you ever heard her before. She's the ruler of Otherworld or whatever. And she sets the rules between them, so they had to each get 10, what's name on both sides get 10 swords and 10 warriors to fight. So on our side, we have Magic and her sword. Storm just went to Wakanda and stole Stormbreaker. Unfortunately, I mean, she stole it, but my thing is, like, they were like, we forgive you because you're still cool with us, but, like, yeah, you have to make you, like, it's going to take a while to build that trust back, and that Wolverine got a new Muramasa blade, so they're going forward as far as that, but yeah.
Okay. All right, so I guess now we'll get into Batman issue 100. This is the conclusion to Joker War, and I'm surprised by the reviews for this issue because I've seen this issue at least 3 times in the last maybe 7 years. The finale to Joker War is very reminiscent to Death of the Family in Endgame. And I'm pretty sure a whole lot of other Joker stories. In the end, Joker gets away. And Batman wins.
Yep.
The only difference is Harley Quinn puts her foot down. And she tries to kill the Joker. She straps a bomb to herself and the Joker. And she tells Batman he can only save one. And he doesn't try to save the Joker. He goes after Harley. And that's the only difference. I think now the book is going to move toward a more family, team type of dynamic. Another difference is that Batgirl is now Oracle again, which is kind of cool. But this issue was just mid to me, so I'm going to jump off Batman. I'm not going to read after this issue. I hope, you know, it picks back up. Well, picks up, but this just wasn't it. This ending wasn't profound or anything.
Like, to me, the whole storyline of, like, the whole, like, when Rebirth happened, we had a bunch of decent storylines, and then I feel like it went off the handle as far as when we got to Flashpoint Batman. And then after that, we got here, and it's just, yeah, like, it's to the point now, like, I wish we still had 5G or some kind of Rebirth event, because there's a lot of stuff in DC that a lot of fans are not happy about as far as storylines for a lot of big characters. And the sad part is even they're canceling a lot of lines. As far as like Young Justice, Teen Titans, et cetera, et cetera. But like as far as the main ones, they're not even, I feel like they need a reboot as soon as possible, because this Batman story was first off like mid to begin with, then ended mid because it wasn't really any real resolution. Like Endgame had a little bit more profound because you saw them both like disappear in the Lazarus pit, and at that they both come back as far as they have no memory. It's a whole new era, et cetera, et cetera. And then Death of the Family, he's like, supposedly supposed to be dead this time or whatever, but this was just a big waste of time for my opinion. I mean, you introduce Punchline, which is the only thing I can say is kind of interesting, but I'm still going to read, but I'm not really going to be checking for this anymore like I used to.
Yeah, even the new villain looks generic, whatever his name is.
I mean, the guy at the end, what's the name of the guy who's like, oh, Bruce, you mess up the city. I need to, I'm going to show you what's up or something. Or
yeah, he was like designer to me.
I thought it was like a future version of Azrael or something, really. Because like, I was like,
His costume is too similar to designers. And I understand they wanted to bring Batman back to more of just a superhero comic instead of like a deconstruction of the superhero, but this is just plain white bread to me. It's nothing, you know, it's sustainable, but it's nothing to go crazy over, and I'd rather eat something else.
Like, the only thing that I would say was actually kind of interesting to me was the Clown Hunter thing, though. Like, you were saying the part where he talked to the Clown Hunter in the room, he was like, you need help and everything. I was like, he looked at the clown and was like, I'm killing people because they're literally wanted to be clowns, destroy the city, kill people, and you're trying to come to me for that. And I was like, I respect this guy a whole lot more than this whole arc, man.
I respected him more than Batman at the end. I was at the end of the story, I was just like, Batman a whole bitch.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Because like, Harley was saying, let's make a change, bro. Let's make a change for once and for all. And you can't do
that. Yeah, I mean, in Scott Snyder's run, Joker gets away like three significant times. The end of Death of a Family, but the ending of that was satisfying because it was like Bruce was willing to change the dynamic of their relationship. Then you get to Batman 0 Year, and that was just part of the story, the mythos, because Joker gets away after he becomes, you know, Red Hood or whatever. I mean, after he becomes Joker. So, it's supposed to be mystery behind that. And then we get to Endgame, and after that, Batman and Joker are not Batman and Joker after that. So there is something different. But after this one, the status quo is still the same. And Joker is plotting a comeback. They just need to kill that nigga off for at least 2 years. I don't want any Joker stories after this. After Three Jokers ends, I just want him to go away. I'm tired of Joker. All right, let's jump into TV and movies.
Yeah, so what I was going to say on the news part is that two new anime dropped last week. One is called Jujutsu Kaisen. The other one is called Burn the Witch. I saw both of those over the weekend. And I'm really excited for both of them. The first one, Jujutsu Kaisen, is about, it's kind of, or at least the first episode reminded me of a little bit about Bleach. It's about a kid who is in high school, obviously shonen, and there's these curses that are lurking around, and there's this organization that like kind of take care of curses, and they kind of like eliminate them or so, something like that. And this kid, the main character, he has this power. Nobody knows how that he has like this kind of curse power or something inside of him already. And then it turns in like his friends that are like ghost hunters or something like that. They have like this ghost hunter club in school. They get caught by a curse, and then the kid, he eats this like ancient finger that's like an ancient artifact or something like that. And I guess it's from a previous curse or previous demon or something like that. He turns into something pretty crazy. It's like this dual personality type of thing. So it's like this regular person, and then it turns into this curse or something like that. So, but it was pretty exciting visually. I'm looking forward to it. Burn the Witch was really good. It's about these, I believe they're, it's like some type of police force with like witches. It's like two main characters, two girls. One is like a Naruto and Sasuke type of relationship, and they're both, one of them is blonde hair, the other one has black hair, so that's pretty funny. And they dropped three episodes, like their first release, so they just dropped three episodes like right there, and I saw them. But it's really good. Not much to go off of from there. Just pretty interesting, and like, it's basically witches versus dragons, and like one of the dragons, like there's like seven dragons, they're all based on fairy tales, which is like Cinderella, Snow White, and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. So that's what the dragons are called or something like that. But yeah, those are pretty good.
You know that series is by Tite Kubo, right?
What's that?
Tite Kubo is the creator of Bleach.
Jujutsu Kaisen is created by him, or is it Burn the Witch? Which one is it?
Burn the Witch.
Oh, that one. See, that makes sense because on the cover, it has the letters Burn the Witch there. And then like there's blood covering parts of the letters, which spells out Bleach, if that makes sense. Like if I would show y'all a picture of it, it would make perfect sense. But it's like it has the letters Burn the Witch, but then like blood is covering like the B some parts of the B, and it's
okay.
It's
hard, like, to explain. Like different like letters and everything.
Yeah, like different parts of the letters ends up spelling out bleach. So I guess that's. And I saw that, and I was like, "Why does what does bleach have to do with Burn the Witch?" But it makes perfect sense now.
Yeah. Could you actually? Yeah. Could you actually send that in the group chat? I want to see that.
Yeah. They got three episodes already. I think I don't know what days they drop, but yeah,
it's probably weekly right now.
Yeah. It's definitely weekly. I'm trying to figure out what day they actually dropped. I think it was. If it's not today, then it's probably Saturday. But
yeah, I saw a little bit of the art style. It was somebody made a post about the manga, and I was like, "This looks pretty fire. I think I might read it." I'm gonna pick up the manga though.
Yeah, the art style is pretty solid. It reminds me of Tower of God actually, but just a little bit more, a little bit better. And I definitely think it's gonna be better than Tower of God, so that's a good thing. Then obviously. Yeah. Well, yeah, I caught up with God of High School as well. I finished that the first season. It was the fights are always up there, but the story, I don't know what the heck is going on sometimes. But I would I would suggest finishing it. You know, it's actually pretty interesting, but it's just been some parts I just don't understand.
I'm on like episode 2 or 3 right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to try to watch a little bit tonight. So was like the storyline kind of lacking a bit?
It's not that. I guess it's the fact that I know that they skipped hundreds of chapters. Well, not hundreds. They skipped tens and tens of chapters. So it's like it's kind of weird watching it because it feels like that they skipped. Even though I don't know what the actual story is about, it feels like that things are just choppy. But it's still pretty interesting to watch. And the main character, Jin Mori, on the last or second to last episode, he discovers this crazy power. So I would definitely watch that. So there's I finally finished that. You know, they get a lot of hate. I'm 99% sure they're gonna get a second season, especially since they're since it's a Crunchyroll original. So there's that. Also, what else did I do? Of course, obviously, I've watched Boruto. Boruto has a new Rasengan. It's kind of like it resembles
the little green joint, right?
Yeah. You saw it.
What's the name? YouTube keeps busting.
Oh, YouTube.
Every now in a while, with like what's the name? Maybe you like this video, and I saw it was like he had like a little mini green Rasengan shuriken or something like that.
Yeah. He'd been training with Kakashi, and he has, because he got beat down by Adipa, like I said, the past couple weeks. But yeah, so him and Sarada, they decided to get stronger. And now he has like, it's kind of similar to the Rasen Shuriken, but it's purely wind style. He calls it a wind style Rasengan. So it's a pretty nice name. No, it's not. But yeah, so he did that and it's green for some reason. So I have a feeling that he's gonna get some type of rainbow Rasengan, because in the opening he's using a Rasengan on some villain and it's like a rainbow color. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets other colors in that Rasengan to make some type of combination, which would be pretty. It'd be different, you know.
No, I say either that or it's just like it's probably like the theme, just playing with it a little bit with the art style, I guess.
Yeah. Naruto is definitely known for it. Teasing people and playing people with their openings, so that is true. But it's green right now, so we'll see if he adds any other colors with new styles. Because he's in the manga, he's supposed to learn water style, so I wouldn't be surprised if he has a water style Rasengan as well. Sarada also, like I said, she trained with her dad Sasuke to get better at her one tomo Sharingan, and it's funny because she asked him, she was like, she was like, I need to train harder to get 2 tomo and 3 tomo. He was like, no, that's not how it works. He was like, you don't train to get more tomo. It literally comes from tragedy. So that hasn't happened yet, but we'll see how she gets those extra tomos. So
you gonna get juicer and make it extra activate?
Oh God. Yeah, that'll be something to watch. But
so I know she have him and Sakura just get massacred, and he's like, oh my god, and she's fighting the bad guy, and he's like, chill, is this a genjutsu? Look, you got your 2 tomos up.
That's some trick. That'd be crazy if that happened. But Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be pretty crazy because when she ends up, she's going to eventually get some type of mangekyo eventually. And when she does, it'll be pretty crazy because she's going to eventually learn Sakura's, whatchamacallit's.
The what's name joint? The healing joint. Technique from Tsunade.
Yeah. So she's going to, it's going to be kind of like EMS, kind of like Eternal Mangekyo Sharingan, because it's like she doesn't get hurt from
everything for that.
Yeah, she's using and healing at the same time. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that in 2030. But there's that. And I think in a preview, it said Team 10, which is the Ino Shikacho combo, and Team Shinki from Gaara's son, they're going to fight Deepa now. From Kara, so that's gonna be pretty interesting.
From the way like Baruto is going right now, and I'm still actually on the Sarada when she actually unlocks that three Toma, I just feel like that tragedy is gonna be like real crazy. Either that, or they're just gonna be either that, or it's just gonna be a real high stake mission, something like that.
Yeah, I don't think she's gonna get it from tragedy, because if that happens, then that means a main character is going to have to die or something like that. It's enough for her to get. I think it's just going to be in like the heat of battle, kind of like how because Sasuke got his second or third time. He got one of them when he was fighting Naruto.
Zabuza, I think. Third was Naruto.
Okay, so he already started the show with one.
Like, remember, he had it when, like, Itachi killed the village, but, like, since he had trauma, he could never unlock it until, like, he had the Zabuza thing that we thought is, I mean, we first saw it, he started at two, but, like, he turns out he always had to when they showed, like, the full flashback and everything when he...
I thought it was Orochimaru that opened the second one when he was in the Forest of Death.
He had two then.
Yeah, he opened the second one, right?
Nah, He had two then.
Yeah, he had two then, because... He had two when he was fighting Rock Lee. Wasn't there one strange time when he had two in one eye, but one in the other?
I think that's like the Itachi thing. Like when he fought, Itachi, that's the only time I remember like him having like at least one Tomo in one eye. That's the only time I remember that. Like
that's weird. I've never.
Yeah, like back when he was like little, like when Itachi killed the whole village and everything, it's like he saw that. He saw his family. And he wanted to go confront Itachi, even though he was just a child, and he unlocked it through that. But yeah,
he might be, just might be right. It says, well, someone says online he unlocked it when he was fighting Orochimaru.
He unlocked the second one.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one he got was Zabuza, right? And the second one, the first one he got with Itachi.
First one was with Itachi.
And then second with Orochimaru, and third with Naruto.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so that means, yeah, so it's definitely doable for Sarada to get in the heat of battle. It just got to be the heat of battle.
Okay, yeah, and there was a time when he had one Tomo in one eye and two Tomo in the other, and that was when they were fighting Zabuza.
Okay. I've never that's so weird. Why would they do that?
I don't know. It's like, either it was intentional or it was just bad animation. It just said, let's go with it.
Right, that's what I'm leaning towards.
It was in the manga too, though. Because I remember. It was in the manga when he fought Rock Lee. Because I still remember reading those volumes.
I just looked at the video for him versus Rock Lee. He had two Tomo in like one eye. And I think that had two in probably both. I can't remember.
Strange.
No, I was just more than certain that when he hit, like when he fought Orochimaru in the Force of Death, he opened that second one though.
No, that's when he did. I'm pretty sure. But before that, he just only had two Tomo in one eye.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but all right.
Yeah. I watched South Park, the pandemic special. I don't know how these guys come up with the shit they be coming up with. So I'm not going to spoil the whole thing, but I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to at least say the reason why Corona came about. and then I was watching the previous season, and I think it's the previous season, and it bleeds into this one. So Randy went to China to broaden his weed business, and he was over there with Disney characters, and he met Mickey Mouse over there, and they were partying, and Mickey Mouse bet Randy that he wouldn't fuck this one animal, and it's like this porcupine type thing.
A pangolin.
A pangolin, yeah. And so when Randy fucked this pangolin, it kind of mutated his genes. And
well, he fucked a bat first, then a pangolin, but that's
bizarre. Yeah. They thought it was a bat at first, but it was the pangolin. And somehow the pangolin's germs, whatever mutated on the pangolin, spread to humans. And so that's how Corona started. When it gets to America, Randy, of course, has his weed business, and they are looking for a cure for Corona by analyzing the pangolin. And Randy steals the pangolin because he doesn't want the world to know that he fucked the pangolin. And it's just this, all this other wild shit. The police are out of commission because they've been defunded by the mayor. So as topical as ever. And then they become the school teachers. To quiet the class, they shoot Token because he's the only black kid there. And then they put the school on lockdown because they said that an incident happened because of Corona. And it was really just because they became teachers and shot Token. And they said, well, it was still because of Corona, because if it wasn't for Corona, we wouldn't have become teachers. It's crazy. Y'all gotta watch it. It's insane.
Like, it was just wild from start to finish. And after that, this man Randy wants to cure Corona and then unfortunately spreads a different strain of the virus to people, and they all get mustaches just like him because of that. And then the episode ends with Mr. Garrison, aka Donald Trump, setting a guy on fire saying, "Vote for me in 2020. Pray for me 2020.
It's insane. I wonder what kind of mushrooms do they do. They have to do something to get that creative juices flowing.
Yeah, I don't know. This how long has South Park been on? Like 20-some years?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. I mean, it came on, I'll say, actually started like, yeah, it's been on 20, it came out, I think, like 1990-something or early 2000s. I think like 1999 premiered. After that, like, yeah, it's been on since.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch this one. I'm probably gonna watch it soon. But yeah, that's the only clip I saw when a Token got shot. I was like, "What is going on?" Like, of course they would do that.
It was still wild because, like, the thing is, they were doing like the whole distance learning thing, and Cartman was using all the loopholes to not go to school. As far as like, you know how it's all virtual and everything, so he had like, he was acting like he was glitching and everything. He's like, "Hey, T." That he moved like a little picture of him in front of the monitor, was doing whatever until they say, "Okay, you gotta go back to school." And then he was like, "Hey," everybody was in class already, like in their little bubble, like a plexiglass thing. And then the police are grabbing him here, handcuff him to the desk and everything. And he starts like, "I have coronavirus." He starts coughing on Kyle and they start fighting. And they say, "Hey, calm down, we're gonna take care of this." And they pull out their guns and then shoot Token. And it was like, come on, man.
But how long was it? Like an hour?
Yep, just 1 hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll watch that.
It's actually the first episode of the season.
Yeah, they're supposed to start like, what's the name? Not this week, but probably next week. They're going to start the new season because it's always around this time that it ends like right before Thanksgiving. Well, the first half of the season ends right before Thanksgiving. Then they pick back up like after the year starts again.
Alrighty, let's get into ghost stories. So, originally in Japan, the Ghost Stories anime was a 20-episode series that was an adaptation of a book series of the same name by Toru Tsunemitsu. The series is about a group of preteens who investigate ghost-related incidents with their demon-possessed cat, and it aired in Japan in 2000. After the anime flopped on Japan TV, Animax approached ADV Films to produce an English dub. Due to the pressure to produce a profit on the English dub, the American creators were given vast creative control. As a result, the English dub of Ghost Stories became a self-aware gag anime that would become a cult classic. Here are the three rules ADV had to adhere to. 1. Do not change the names of any character, including the ghosts. 2. Do not change the way any ghost is killed, as it is based on Asian ghost legends. And 3. Do not change the meaning of the episode. I'm going to tell you guys, like, this joint was was wild. And it's before, like, the PC era. So
yep. It came in 2005.
So you hear a lot of words that are frowned upon today, the R word, there's a lot of gay jokes in here. Yeah, the F word and all that stuff. It truly is wild. And let's just get into overall thoughts.
No, I mean, you might as well just go ahead and say your thoughts.
Oh, yeah, we'll do you, me, Drew, Jess.
All right. So when I first turned this on, like when Drew said it was gonna be like Family Guy, I was like, okay. I didn't think it was gonna be like I honestly thought it was gonna be weak. I thought it was gonna be like, this is probably gonna be like a little funny or whatever. But this joint is wild. The shit that they're saying, like, I think it's funnier than Family Guy, especially like the recent seasons. Not funnier than the whole show, but especially in recent seasons. This is definitely the funniest anime I've seen. And I kind of admire the English dubbers for just making this a gag anime and really an abridged, they made an abridged version of the anime official. Like, this is the English dub is the abridged version. And I'm kind of surprised that it's on Crunchyroll because it is so, what's the word?
Left field, off-colored,
vulgar.
Left field, vulgar, and it doesn't meet the PC standards of today. So I would think somebody would have complained about it, and Crunchyroll would be like, I'm so sorry that this offended you, and X, Y, and Z. But it's here, and it's a hidden gem. If you are, I'd say this, if you don't like Big Mouth, this is not the show for you. But if you like Big Mouth, this is the show for you.
A lot of people like Big Mouth.
Yeah, they do. But a lot of people don't. They're like, I don't like these kids, you know, cursing, talking about sex and all of this stuff. And that's valid, but if you don't like that, you wouldn't like this.
Yeah. I mean, as far as this show, just from the episode start in and everything, it's just wild. And that she's like, oh, have you said the Lord Jesus as your Christ the Savior?
I love her. I love her.
I was like, yo, she said that joint fast as hell. And he's like, no, I'm Jewish. Oh, then you're going to hell. I was like, damn. It's just moments and moments and moments throughout the whole thing. And it's like, Marcus said, I appreciate the fact that, like, they said, you know what, fuck it, we're just going to make this thing how we want to make it. And, I mean, they kind of did break the last rule because the meaning of each episode was just wilder and wilder and wilder. And then literally, they like, it came to the point toward the end, like, they were just, like, breaking the fourth wall for no fucking reason. Like, hey, man, what are we doing? Like, oh, this has to happen this episode. Oh, damn, we're on the last episode. We got to get this right. I was like, yep.
They even call a call. What is it? They even reference the knockoffs, the stuff they take from like pop culture.
It's like what's doing the ring?
Yeah.
Or the Grudge.
The Grudge and Back to the Future and everything like that. They were like, we were supposed to follow this plot trope.
Like, there's so many moments that were just hilarious. Like, my favorite had to be the one where she's calling the mom on the phone and everything. She's like, Timoni, I know what Timoni is here. What's wrong with you?
Oh my God, that part was hilarious. I know what you're talking about. That part was hilarious, bro. She really sounded like a black mom, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, man. I mean, yeah, it was just hilarious, bro. What do you, Drew?
Yeah, I'm so glad I saw this on Twitter. I saw it on Twitter like a few months ago, probably like right before the pandemic hit. And I was like, I've never seen this anime before. This is the craziest thing. And like the clip was the part when she was talking to the bunny and she was like, your laughs. This shit was like, it's not because you're bunny, it's because you're black. I was like, wow. That part is hilarious. Like, it's so it really belongs on Adult Swim. Like, this is an Adult Swim anime.
I was thinking the same exact thing. I was like, how was this not on Adult Swim?
Like, yeah. I say, well, early 2010, before Comedy Central, like, I can see this on there too.
Yeah, I can see that too. But I'm very surprised it hasn't been picked up by those other networks, especially Toonami. But yeah, this thing was hilarious. I'm so mad it was only 20 episodes. But huge shout out to the to the dubbers, to the voice actors, because they have some real creativity and to like actually fit. Because I'm pretty sure I haven't seen the sub version, and I don't want to see the sub version. But I'm pretty sure that the sub version, the dub version, isn't that far apart in terms of the actual plot and the story, with like. Cause like what you said, Marcus, with like the three rules that they had, they followed along every episode. So I'm pretty sure it's actually pretty similar. So yeah, huge shout out to them for just having the creativity to like fit the quick little references and the quick little jokes in there, and like just them just having 20 episodes and to doing all that is, you know, pretty remarkable. The fact that they knew that this was a canceled anime, they was like, all right, so we're just gonna do whatever. So that's like my favorite part of about it, besides the actual content. So, yeah, this one is definitely the funniest anime I've ever seen, by far. Like, it's not even close.
Thanks.
It could have been a cash cow. It really could have.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
If they had really invested in it and put it on the right platform so everybody could see it, I could see this still ongoing. So yeah.
There are a lot of gems in this show. I gotta really give it to her. Like, even the first episode, I was just like I was texting at one point, and then like I heard something. I was like, "What? Did they just say that? Hold on a minute, what?" And I rewinded. I was just like, "That's so wild." There was like, I think like every episode I was going through this, my mouth kept dropping. I was just like, "That's crazy, man!" Like. The cat episode was just hilarious, where like they were like, "Don't let the cat out of the cage." You hear me? And then he was just like, the cat was just like, "Hey, you know you can let me out, right?" And then he was just like, "He's like, but I mean, they told me not to." He's like, "Pussy." He was like, "What?
I'm here."
That's when they started pulling out the R word, and I haven't heard that word on TV in a while.
Yeah,
I was like, okay.
Like, that's early South Park right there. Like, they used to use that word so much, so often. I was like, bro, I haven't heard it since then. I was like, yo, he pulled it out. Like, they kept, like, the brother sound effects, like,
at first. Little brother, oh my God.
Like, it was funny at first. Got a little annoying toward the end, but I was like, he's like, Gaga, what's that mean? I was like, bro, what is he saying? But Joe was funny with his pajamas, though. He's like, why are you crying? Because these pajamas are... I'm like, bruh.
It was just hilarious. And when we got to the... it was the one where he was racing on the... On the racetrack. And his older brother was just like... He was like, run like there's a black man chasing you.
Then he fell down.
And then he fell down and he was just like, well, we know he's not racist. And I was like... That's crazy. This show was, it was hilarious, man. There was not ever like a dull moment in the show. I give it
yeah,
that. Like,
yeah, every episode I was laughing at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. If they had a season two, man, I'd be hyped to watch it, man.
So what did y'all think about the art style? I thought it was pretty mediocre, but that added to it. And because it was a gag anime, so I really didn't care that it was mediocre.
Yeah, like they even joke about it in some of the episodes and everything. It's like, hey man, why are my eyes like this? Dang anime, and at that it was like different parts was in there. It's like, oh, I'm shaped like this because of the way they drew it. This scene, like, oh, and that like when the when they're in the hospital that one time, it's like, oh, this is really nice animation here. It's just like they joke about it throughout the whole thing that. We know it's bad, but they made it work. They didn't care.
Yeah.
I think that the art style, it's weird to say in this, but the art style definitely worked to the comedy of the show's advantage. I feel like if this was a clean art style like you see now, I'm not gonna say it wouldn't be as funny, but some jokes wouldn't hit as hard. So the art style was mediocre, but that definitely made it funnier. So. Good or bad, yeah, it worked. That's all that matters.
It was really good. It could have been a little bit more grittier, you know, because it's, I guess, the old one. Hey, I'm in love with nostalgia, especially retro animes like this one. So it was cool. It was cool. It kind of actually reminded me a little bit of Code Geass's art style a little bit. Y'all ever watched that one?
I haven't watched it. It reminded me like a little bit early, like 90s Pokemon.
Yeah. It's an early one. But it reminded me a little bit of that art style. I liked it though. It was tough. I like I said, I was happy when I turned it on. I was like, oh, it's a retro. This is cool. It's good.
Who was your favorite character? For me, I think it would have to be the religious girl.
Momoko.
Yeah, Momoko. Yeah. She was funny as hell. Everything she said about Jesus was just funny. Like, everybody was going to hell. And yeah. I liked her whole backstory about how she went to lesbian conversion.
Like, she said she was, like, there for to get turn her life around. And she said, I saw your mother at a lesbian conversion camp or whatever. And I was like, what?
Like, she just threw that out so casually. And it was, like, a running gag throughout the whole series. That was excellent. She was just the funniest character.
Like, that's gonna be my favorite too, because like it was just funny, like how many references she had. Like when she first came on the scene, and then she said, like, what's the name to us? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your savior? That she's had her phone. She's like, yeah, it's Verizon. It's just like the Lord. It never gives up on you. And I'm just like. It's like through the whole series, she just kept bringing up God. It was always funny. It's like she was sitting there, oh, you just like sinners and everything. She kept bringing up Proverbs and this and that. It was trying to teach like the little young boy about it and everything. She's like, yeah, the internet was created by God for Christians. It just went left and left and left. But yeah, she's my favorite.
Yeah, she's up there too. Also, it's funny, Kenny, you said that the little boy got a little bit more annoying. I didn't find it annoying. I found that hilarious throughout the whole show. Like, he was just so random. He was just, yeah, I got it.
They hated it was, him too.
Yes, that's the funny part. They was just like, will you shut up? Throughout the whole show, he kept screaming like that. So I would say them two were the top two funniest people are my favorite characters on it. The cat was definitely what's his name, the actual name, something
Onojaku.
Yeah. He was pretty funny throughout the show, but I would definitely say either the girl or the younger brother. He's
Momoko,
that's it. Momoko
or Ketchiro.
Yeah, I didn't remember any of the names. Now I think about it.
I remember Leo because that was the easiest pronounced. That was the Jewish one.
Oh yeah.
That Hajime was like the kid. Was another boy kid. That Sasuke. I don't forget how I pronounce the name. She's the
main Sasuke.
Sasuke.
Sasuke. Yeah. How about you, Jess?
It's Momoko for me, honestly. Like, she was just hilarious. Like, you have this innocent girl who's just preaching about Jesus 24/7, and then she would have an alter ego switch during the show too. And I'll just be like, hold on a minute, what just happened? But it's definitely her. She was hilarious.
All right, what was the absolute best moment of the show to you? For me, geez, it's kind of hard for me to pick one. I guess all the moments when the mom came back, because the mom, the dead mom is supposed to be like the character that's supposed to be revered and they're saintly and stuff like that. But the mom really had some problems. Every time you heard her come back, she was cussing out the kids. She was talking about her past drug use, her lesbian affairs and everything like that. It was just great.
I already said my best moment. It has to be the episode, to me, which still doesn't kind of makes sense, is like the reason why the episode where they want to do like the witchcraft and everything with that one girl and everything, it's like toward the end, and like it didn't make sense to me, because I was like, why are you doing witchcraft? You already deal with ghosts enough, why you want to deal with another thing and all that? And it was just like that whole episode had like two, like it's either that episode or the bunny episode, because the first, like, the what's saying that episode was funny, because she's like the girl who's doing the little seance, like she starts on seance saying Hail Hitler, and then after that comes back, and then that tells him like a little spell to get rid of to get out of a little coven and everything, but it raises you from existence. And then she's like, she calls that girl's phone, and then it's like Drew said, it sounds like a black mom on the phone. So also, you better get your crackhead ass some rehab. I was like, yo, but it's either that or the bunny episode, because it's like the buddy was sitting like, touch me harder. And he was like, we can't be together, not because you're a buddy, but because you're black. And I was like, then the episode ends. Like, let's end this on a good let's end this episode on a good moral. If you have kids, what's saying, hey, if you have kids and abandon them, at least take care of them. Yeah, don't be a deadbeat dad. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, those are probably my top two moments. Yeah.
You remember a lot more lines than I do.
He has a good memory.
Yeah. I'll be forgetting. But I would say my favorite moment was like Kendi said, the bunny episode. There was also the part where she was talking about, she was like, come on, jump. And she was like, I said jump!
I remember that.
That threw me off so much. I was like, yo, what am I watching right now? that's probably the episode where I probably laughed the hardest. So I would say that's my favorite moment.
For me, it's probably going to be like the first episode. I don't know what exactly happened. It was just like a random character went to the bathroom or something. And I think he was like either a teacher or a student.
Well, that's the second episode.
Yeah. And he was just like, I had to come all this way to do all this. I should have just pissed in Mrs. What's-Her-Face's coffee or something. As a matter of fact, on her or something. I was just like, where was anger and aggression coming from, man? Oh, man. That, and it had to honestly be, it really had to be that race, the racetrack one where he just fell down and he was like, we know he's not racist. I was just like, yeah. Who's writing this?
Like that, I remember the episode, you sitting there, it's like, they're like, why are you trapping us out of shed? Because you're in my way. Duh. I was like, it's just aware, it was hilarious.
Another funny character was that short kid with the glasses, man. He was Leo. There was one part where they were just like, I think he was acting or something, and they were like, come on, Leo, you're no DiCaprio. I was like, wow. They mentioned a lot of actors and celebrities' names in this, too.
They have a weird thing for Christian Slater for some reason.
Funny.
So who would y'all recommend this anime to? I'd recommend it to middle school age and up.
Same. Like middle school. middle schools and high schools, I feel like this would hit the heaviest. Like, this would hit the heaviest for them.
Yeah, it would as well. And also people, more specifically, I think people our age, because we grew up in that era of the people saying wild stuff and not getting any consequences or repercussions for that. So having people our age, or maybe even older, that are into anime, obviously, watch this, it would definitely be a retro for them, like a kind of like a throwback. So yeah, middle schoolers would definitely appreciate this, but I think people our age and a little bit older would appreciate this a little bit more, because not saying those things that they say on it are good, and I'm not saying I condone them, but to a time where it was, you know, funny and it wasn't meant to offend blatantly, at least, if I could say that the best way I could, it would remind them of a time like that where it was, you know.
Jokes about anything, but like not like it wasn't specifically targeted to like what's saying be detrimental to anybody, really. It was just to, like, for comedy's sake, really.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah,
but it was a time when people could take jokes, basically.
That too.
Well, there you go. Yeah, people that grew up in that era, I think they would definitely appreciate this a lot more.
Same people older and in the anime, and I guess middle school is not kind of, but. Mostly our age and up.
So for new listeners, we use the Naruto ranking system. So that is S rank to D rank. I'll go first. I'll give it an S rank.
Solid S.
Yeah.
S as well. I wish it had more episodes. I'll give it an S+.
I give it an S.
Hey!
Hey! S is across the
board. Is that first time?
Yep.
Or oh, that's first time.
It's the first time we had something across the board, man.
17 weeks, and we all like something.
Can y'all believe we really started this 17 weeks ago though?
Actually, 18, because we took a week off. But yeah.
Sheesh.
Oh yeah, we did. That's crazy. Weeks. Maybe we can get another quadruple S. Rank next week. We'll see.
Hopefully. Oh,
berserk.
We'll see. Oh, we'll see.
Wait. Okay, never mind. We'll talk about it later. Guys, that wraps up the end of the show. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of The Blurred. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, Instagram at The Blurred Bird, and on our Facebook page called The Blurred. Don't forget to subscribe to us at The Blurred on YouTube and like our video. Also, feel free to leave us a 5-star review and a positive comment on your favorite podcast aggregator. And see you guys next time.
Peace.